Good morning and welcome. It's a happy hump day, Trump day, as hour number three begins. It is 8:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Trump announces the Golden Dome. We'll get into that further coming up. But first, Congresswoman Kat Kamick joins us. Good morning, Kat. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I was going to have to call ASO and get a wellness check. They're letting you run the boards today. This is exciting and slightly terrifying.
Well, the secret is actually Nick is from a remote location, not to be specified. And yes, I am here lonely in the studio, just hoping all the buttons work.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. I'm glad that the witness protection program is working well for Nick.
It is indeed. Hey, what's the latest on the big, beautiful bill?
Woo! We are in the thick of it right now. Last week, and I think I talked to you guys about it, I went through 37 hours mm-hmm. of straight markup in committee, both through energy and commerce and agriculture. And ironically, I had to tell the speaker, I said, you guys made the pregnant lady do the longest markup between the two committees. And they said, oh, well, it's because we knew that you could handle it. But that brings us to today, where now all of the committees have done the work, and it goes into the Rules Committee, which then basically acts as a stapler and puts all the different pieces together, and then it gets sent to the House floor for a vote. Now, reconciliation itself is a very confusing, wonky, weed-type process. So this is about step 8 in a 45-step process.
Oh, jeez.
It is. It's very, very complicated because it is outside the normal rules of the House. It bypasses the 60-vote threshold in the Senate, and so there's all kinds of crazy things that you can and cannot do under reconciliation, and that's why you can only use it once in a fiscal year. So right now, we are at rules. They've started at 1 a.m. this morning. They're still going now. President Trump came and spoke to us yesterday for about 2 hours, and I got to tell you, he is always hilarious, always a funny guy, and was very candid with the Republican conference about the urgency to pass this bill. And there is truth in that, because we need to make sure that we're not raising taxes. His tax cuts from 2017 expire at the end of the year if we don't take action. But more than that, there's so many incredible things in the bill that we do need to get across the finish line. Things like no tax on overtime, no tax on tips. Now, I know that people have been concerned about the Social Security element of this. One of the underlying rules in a reconciliation package is you cannot touch Social Security. It'll make the bill fatal. That is the word that the parliamentarians use, fatal. So if you touch Social Security in any way in reconciliation, it all stops. And that's why we couldn't do a full-blown no tax on Social Security. The most that could be done is a deduction, a $4,000 deduction on Social Security. And I take issue with that. I want to see us do a full-blown no tax on Social Security. The speaker has promised to bring that to the floor for us to actually vote on. But there's other great things, border security, getting rid of the Green New Deal provisions. We still have to address the spending elements, and so I'm working with folks like Chip Roy, Mike Lee, some of the fiscal hawks, because we are on an unsustainable path. So for all the good in this bill, there's also some work that needs to be done. And I've got colleagues who say, oh, Memorial Day weekend's coming up, and I have a fancy trip. And I said, to hell with your trip. We got a country to save. So it's going to be a very contentious couple of days for sure, but this is, like I said, just one of the many steps that we have to take before then we send it to the Senate. The Senate goes through their process, and then it comes back to the House, and a lot of things happening in this way. And I will say, we have worked very, very hard, my team especially, on getting regulatory relief as part of this bill. The regulatory relief, a.k.a. the RAINS Act, not only drains the swamp because it fires the unelected, nameless, faceless bureaucrats, but it empowers us, we the people, because it actually makes your elected representatives, your Congress critters, responsible for all of the rules and regulations that we have to live by, because that's been the bypass for decades. And then on top of that, by the way we have written this bill, it puts $3,100 immediately back into every American's pocket. So it's actually a more substantial savings than the tax bill itself. I've talked to the president about it, as well as basically everyone on Capitol Hill. There is tremendous support for it. But because of the wonkiness and the crazy rules of reconciliation, we've had to be very creative in how we get this done. It's been a tremendous amount of work, but I think that people will be pleased with the product. Anything that we can't get through reconciliation, we're going to double back and try to push through the normal, regular order.
What about these so-called experts that say, oh, this plan is going to raise the debt by, you know, $3 trillion over 10 years?
I would say that the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, which has been inherently flawed for a very long time, they've never been able to accurately predict any of these packages over the years. So I would take that with a grain of salt. And again, these types of organizations, whether it's the Joint Committee on Taxation or the Congressional Budget Office, they are filled with longtime bureaucrats that don't really see the dynamic element of lowering taxes, stimulating the economy, giving long-term certainty to businesses to invest, create jobs. These are the same people that think that government creates jobs. And they, like I said, have been wrong on countless occasions when it comes to their projections. And we know under the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that there was a massive boom to the economy. Families were bringing home more money. The child tax cut credit debit, that doubled. I mean, there's just been so many things that have happened. And, of course, you're seeing President Trump work to bring trillions of dollars worth of investment to the United States. I mean, I can speak just from the working class side of things. My husband, as everybody knows, is a firefighter. Firefighters, police work a lot of overtime. No tax on overtime would be a game changer for law enforcement and first responders, for nurses, for dispatchers. This is a game changer. And so we're trying to make it so that it's bringing more money back into people's pockets, because Washington has never been a good steward of our dollars. And this is going to stimulate the economy. But we have to address the spending. It's out of control. We've got to get a hold of the national debt and the deficit. That's where there's a big hang up. And the other hang up is on salt. The California and New York guys, they really, really want to have a carve out for a special tax deduction, which I have been very vocal about pushing back, because I don't want Floridians to have to shoulder that burden. And so that's something that we're continuing to negotiate and being very mindful of.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand the salt thing, because we don't have income tax here in Florida. We don't have city taxes that I'm aware of in any of our cities.
Correct. And so in our state, it's almost like we're being punished for doing things right, being fiscally conservative. And what we are seeing in some of these negotiations on salt is rewarding bad behavior from the state. And that's just unacceptable. Another thing that we're working on in this bill is getting rid of a lot of the waste, fraud, and abuse, actually implementing work requirements for people who are on these programs in a way that makes sense. We have seen, particularly in Medicaid, we have over 1.3 million illegals on the system, which is taking money away from those that really need it. People that are, you know, women that are expecting children, disabled individuals, those that have true disabilities. Why would we be catering to illegals? And I've listened to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle defend keeping illegals on the taxpayer dole. That is wholly unacceptable. I cannot believe for the life of me that this is how far and how radical they have become, is that they would rather take care of MS-13 gang members than American citizens. And that's really the current state of affairs.
And it is a sad state of affairs. Totally agree with that. And if we don't see a Memorial Day weekend because you're hard at work, we do appreciate you, Kat. And thanks for keeping us apprised of everything that's going on in D.C. And get some rest every once in a while.
Appreciate it. Gators basketball team is in town. We're hosting them in the Capitol and at the White House as well. So go Gators, go Gators, go Gators.
Go Gators. All right. Thanks again, Kat. Gators and national basketball champs at the White House. Very cool. More details on that whole salt thing, and I'll quickly explain that coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, 97.3 The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Governor DeSantis signed 8 different bills. One for diagnostic supplemental breast exams, insurance overpayments, type 1 diabetes early detection program, anaphylaxis treatment in public and charter schools. You know, somebody gets stung by a bee. They'll have something available right there. Stick it with the pen and save your life. It's a good thing, right? Refund for overpayments made by patients, disability history and awareness instruction. There's advanced practice registered nurses services, and then newborn screenings. So governor's been busy in Florida. Congresswoman Kat Kamick just spoke with us talking about the big, beautiful bill and how important it is really to pass this thing. We enjoyed tax breaks 2017, thanks to President Trump. Well, those things are sunsetting. They're going away if not rectified by this big, beautiful bill. So hopefully they will get that all done. And in case you missed our chat with the Congresswoman, you can always get it on the Bob Rose Show podcast. Available wherever you normally download your podcast at no charge, and you just click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. One of the things we talked about was salt. Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, sodium chloride or anything. This is about these deductions for like local and state taxes. We're fortunate here in Florida, we don't have those things. Oh my gosh. House Speaker Mike Johnson has reached a tentative deal with blue state Republican lawmakers to boost the cap on state and local tax deductions, or SALT, to $40,000. $40,000 for local and state taxes? How much do you have to make to be taxed at that level? We're not talking about federal taxes here. That's a lot of money. I, you know what? I've never lived in an area like that. I don't know that I realized it was such a large percentage of somebody's income. The cap was $30,000. They're looking to up it to $40,000, and it would be per household for taxpayers making less than $500,000 a year. Now, it remains unclear, according to this article, whether GOP hardliners who oppose raising the SALT cap deductions will sign off on the measure. Well, as the Congresswoman was talking about, why would people in Florida or other states pay, theoretically, for how they've mishandled and misappropriated things in other states to the point to where they have to have huge state taxes and huge city taxes, but now the rest of us have to pay? Sort of, it's almost like bailing out those people. No. No, if you don't like those city and state taxes, you need to move, or you need to work very, very hard to make sure the people that are for all that taxation don't get reelected. But instead, we put a Band-Aid on it by allowing them to deduct that money. Now, look, I don't live there, so it's easy for me to say. If I lived there, I'd be like, oh, please help. But again, is that everyone else's job to pay for the fact that you're in a highly overtaxed area? That's crazy. Now you know why. Yeah, oh man, I can make a lot more money up north. It's like, yeah, they're going to take a lot more money too. The tentative agreement, first reported by Politico, confirmed by Fox, comes as House GOP factions have been engaged in high stakes debates on taxes, Medicaid, green energy subsidies, while crafting the president's big, beautiful bill. But according to the Congresswoman, things are moving very, very well now. It's in the Rules Committee arena. She said it's like step 8 of 45. I don't know if it was a mild exaggeration, but she's saying, you know, still a ways to go to get this thing done. Then, of course, you got to get it to the Senate. They go through their process, but the Dems don't have the votes to block it. So it's, I'd say it's looking pretty good. Pretty good. That would be my description for right now. All right. The Golden Dome. The Golden Dome. Look, I'm glad to hear about it. This is a defense system that would protect us against missiles and things like that, even hypersonic missiles. The president unveiled it, talked about that. This is in this big, beautiful bill. Another of the many reasons why we hope they can pass this bill through and make it law. And we'll talk more about, you know, the Golden Dome as we get more information on it. But the president, of course, he's always very optimistic, thinks he might be able to get it done before he leaves office. That would be an incredible feat. But just like all things Trumpian, watch him do it. Can you believe that we're this close to hurricane season? June 1st, like 10 days out. Hurricane season. Yeah. And we've got a cold front coming. It's hard to say the words, cold front. Yes, instead of 95, it'll be 92. But it'll be that dry heat. Yeah, the kind, you know, the kind in an oven, isn't that dry heat? Yes, it is. But, yeah, a cold front. Man, I guess maybe it is nice to say it. You're not going to feel it, but it feels good to say it. So we'll stick with that. Cold front is coming. I think that's something like Thursday, maybe. We'll see late Thursday, early Friday, maybe. We'll see some change. A little bit of relief. A little bit. Short-lived. Enjoy it while you can. And as we do get closer to hurricane season starting, you know, get a head start on your preparations, especially if you are new to Florida. Really go through. There's so many available places to go to, you know, do a checklist. And just start knocking them out now. And then you'll be all set. And for most of us in the listening area, you know, we're not right on top of the coasts. So, you know, yes, that gives us a break in many ways, but like I said earlier, you'll still drown in a flood. Water doesn't know where it's at when it covers you. And also, you know, fallen lines and things like that and being without power. Those are things we've all, unfortunately, suffered through firsthand. Hopefully not the fallen wires, but definitely going without power. All right, so yeah. The first tropical wave of 2025 moves off the coast of Africa. However, it's not expected to threaten Florida or develop any further. It's just an opportunity to remind everyone. And the forecasters say 4 to 6 major hurricanes expected this year. Good morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It's 8:29, and you're listening to the Bob Rose Show on 97.3 The Sky. Tear it up, Teddy. Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 8:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Yep, it's a happy hump day. Trump Day indeed, with Trump announcing the Golden Dome to protect us all from missiles. Hypersonic included. Yeah, that's a good thing. Secretary of State shuts down Senator Van Hoser. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Now, you know what? We talk about that right now. Yeah, they got into it a little bit. Look, it was a Senate hearing that took place yesterday, and they should have been talking about issues and policies and real things. Instead, Van Hoser took the opportunity. Look, this guy would he'd like to be president. Yeah. Chris Van Hollen, the senator, I call him Van Hoser for various reasons, tried to hose Marco Rubio. Yeah, got kind of nasty. He said, you and I served in Congress for 15 years. I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. Wow, that's nice. During a hearing, like, how does that play into the work at hand, the information that they need to disseminate during a hearing? It doesn't help at all. Now, Van Hoser thinks maybe it'll help his political career. You see, CNN and MSNBC and the likes of those folks, well, they'll play that clip. They'll edit it in such a way it looks like Van Hoser's the tough guy. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yeah. He says, I have to tell you directly and personally that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. Now, Rubio responded, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job. Right back at you, blowhard. Oh, that's a flippant statement, protested Van Hoser. Well, why did you make the stupid statement to begin with, pal? That's exactly what you asked for in terms of an answer. What was he supposed to say? Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. That's not Rubio. Good. Good for him. Yeah. And this guy, Van Hoser, look, he's the guy that runs down to El Salvador, you know, drinking margaritas with a guy that's, a wife beater? Possibly involved in human trafficking here illegally? Part of a MS-13 gang? Come on. But you regret voting for Marco Rubio for Secretary of State. Really? Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you enjoy the margaritas? Uh-huh. Yeah. So you have to have a process of deciding, Rubio said when he was actually talking about immigration. Who do you prioritize? Who do you allow in? We do it all the time. We do it in our immigration system now under our current laws. Unfortunately, it's primarily based on family connection and not on what they're going to contribute to the society from a merit standpoint. That should be changed, but that'll require statutory changes. The bottom line is, though, this notion that somehow we have to accept anyone who wants to come to the U.S. is absurd. No country in the world has an immigration policy like that. And if they did, they would be very rapidly overrun. Kind of like we've been, huh? Yeah. I mean, you only have to pay a little bit of attention to see with some level of clarity what's going on here. And there's a group of people that at least seem to care about the American people first and foremost. Those are mostly Republicans. And then there's those who pretty much put everything else in front of and before Americans, and that tends to be the Democrats. Go figure. Well, here's another one. So your little girl, your pride and joy, she's playing and she's in sports, and as a father of a former athlete myself, that was just some of the best times. Well, to see, my son play, and certainly to see my daughter play. For me, she was first in the birth order. I remember throwing a ball to her and joked on the then huge video camera setup. Remember that? It was almost like you're a cameraman for NBC. This big, heavy Sony went straight to VHS. I'm like, don't think we're going to have an athlete in the family. Which, of course, you never should say something like that out loud regardless. But, of course, it's me. And she turned out to be a very, very good athlete. And it was fun to watch her play. I'm happy, though, that she didn't have to compete against biological males, because that would be incredibly unfair. Anybody who disagrees with that and doesn't see that issue clearly, there's something wrong with the way you think. I don't know how else to describe it. Well, somebody actually said something publicly along those same lines. And she just happened to be a Maine state representative, Laurel Libby. She got censured by her state government, the Democrat majority, of course, in Maine, because all she did was call out a biologically trans athlete who won a girls' pole vault competition. there was nothing malicious about it, nothing mean. Just, you know, basically saying, well, you know, this is what happened when it happens when you have biological males competing against women. And that's really, you know, okay, you took away maybe a place on the track team. You took away possible opportunities. You took away possible championships from a female athlete. In this case, that's the worst that can happen. But in many other sports where there's any sort of contact, even if it's a volleyball, which can be delivered with so much greater velocity than the women can deliver it, and they can put a pretty good punch on it too, but not like a male. And it's hurt women before. It is beyond the realm of the political, and it's totally based on common sense and just being the logical thing. Anyway, so she got in trouble for saying something on social media. They censured her. She didn't have the ability to vote and represent her folks. Well, she took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was worth it because she won. 7-2. I most certainly do believe this is a civil rights issue for Maine girls and for girls across the country who are being sidelined by biological males. And she later added that the censure was political retaliation from start to finish over her vocal stance on trans athlete inclusion. Look, that's the only way the left thinks they can win, because it is the only way, and they'll never win on this issue. They just never will. But little battles here and there, they might win temporarily, because they really are going against the grain on this. I mean, you just talk to anybody and you say, do you want your daughter, sister, grandkid, whatever, competing? A girl competing against a biological male? I think it would have to be 92% at the very least. But again, here you have these so-called lawmakers just caving in to the agenda of the far left. Look, when it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. But this had to go to the Supreme Court for her to get back her ability to be a lawmaker in the state of Maine. And of course, you know, there's a pending appeal too. Now, President Donald Trump has signed an executive order that requires states only allow females to compete. But multiple Democrat-run states, including Maine, have defied the order and continued to enable trans inclusion. U.S. Department of Justice Attorney General Pam Bondi, they've even filed their own separate lawsuit against the state of Maine for continuing to defy the order. So this lawmaker, Laura Libby, sides on the side of the federal government with an executive order, comments publicly about the issue, and then is punished by the Democrat majority. And they don't want to even have a debate about it. They hold their hands over their ears when you talk about the differences between biological males and biological females, and they go, la, 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 la. They don't want to hear it. It is a battle of civil rights for sure, and I'm still waiting for all those women who fought for women's rights to stand up in a strong way. Some have, but to stand up in a strong way now. It is 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. It is a happy hump day, Trump day. Governor Ron DeSantis signs 8 different bills. We'll dig in a little bit on some of that and tell you what else is going on in the world. That's coming up next, right here on News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Wow, that was quick. I don't even have time to wash my dishes around here. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It is the Bob Rose Show. It's on a happy hump day, Trump day, with Trump, another huge win, announcing the Golden Dome. The big, beautiful bill is looking good. It's not done yet. It's not through all the process yet. As we talked to Kat Kamick earlier, you can find that on the Bob Rose Show podcast, which is available wherever you would normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. She said, yeah, it's like step 8 of 45. I mean, I think she's talking total finality. It's in the Rules Committee. It's looking good. They'll make some changes, whatever. Then it goes over the Senate. They go through their process. And then, hopefully, great minds can come together and get this thing done. By the way, you know, if you, and a lot of people, it's interesting, isn't it? If you had to rant and talk about, like, taxes or a tax cut or whatever the case may be, and you're talking like, oh, this is a tax cut for the rich. But you yourself received a similar tax cut in 2017. But they never recognized that really publicly. All they talked about was how some wealthy people were going to benefit from the tax cuts. And then they would put a general statement out. So, you know, it'll be put on the, you know, the back of the working class. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look, the wealthiest people, you know, the top 5% pay 70%. Of all the taxes. So when you begin from that perspective, kind of changes the equation, or at least it should, but it doesn't. Just like it doesn't when people go, I didn't see a tax break. Really? Are you a CPA? No. Are you telling the truth? Well, maybe they think. Maybe they think so. But there's people that I know got tax breaks and denied it, and said, no, I didn't. I'm like, but I know you did. Anyway, they didn't want to admit it because who gave it to him? Trump, right? Can't give him any positive credit. That's awful. Hey, speaking of Trump and immigration policies and trying to get rid of, you know, ne'er-do-wells that are here illegally that could really, you know, commit heinous crimes. How do I know this? Because they have. It is for real. It's not fear-mongering. It's the truth. So, locally, Ocala, the police chief there, is going to work in unison with ICE. Well, why wouldn't he? Here's the story from OcalaNews.com. Over a dozen residents spoke out against the Ocala Police Department's agreement with ICE to operate a task force, with the city's police chief explaining he's only interested in arresting criminal illegal aliens and not raiding horse farms and schools and job sites around the city. During the public comment portion of Tuesday's regular meeting of the Ocala City Council, around 13 residents shared opinions regarding this recently signed memorandum agreement between Ocala Police Department and ICE. It was signed by city officials in mid-April. It permits OPD, their officers, the authority to perform certain immigration enforcement functions. And this is along with the, you know, Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act. And it authorizes ICE to delegate to state and local enforcement officers the authority to perform specified immigration officer functions under the agency's direction and oversight. Throughout the duration of the relationship, OPD officers will carry out the functions at the local agency's own expense, and ICE will be responsible for the installation and maintenance of the information technology infrastructure. Look, I understand that some residents may be concerned. They don't want to lose maybe very good people that they have working for them. Okay? But do you really want to put that above the efficient ability to be able to remove people from our community that truly are dangerous? Because a police chief already said, look, I'm not interested in, you know, raiding farms and schools and work sites. But they do want the ability to remove dangerous people that have committed serious crimes. Why would you want to hinder that? And when push comes to shove, and you say, well, I'm afraid to take the chance. Like, I don't trust that they're not going to go further. Well, maybe you should have thought about that before you knowingly hired somebody whose paperwork was not in order. Oh, yeah. And look, there is a procedure. There are many work permits that are given out. And we've talked about expanding that. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. And I don't think a lot of people would. But these are people that have to be vetted. They're in they're in a program. We know who they are. We know when they come and go. That is so much better than the overrunning of our borders that we've seen, you know, under the previous administration and 4 years of Biden. So I think some of these people are have a fear that is, you know, not appropriate. All right. And I back what the police chief in Ocala is trying to do. Look, what's his job? Keep the people of Ocala safe. And if that means, part of that means removing people that don't belong here and are dangerous, that's called doing his job. So I back him 100% on that. Especially when he tells you, look, we're not interested in raiding the farms and job sites. That's not the kind of people that we're looking for. They're looking for bad people. That's what good law enforcement does. They look for the criminals, and in this case, hopefully, aid in the whole idea of deporting them and sending them on their way. All right. It is 8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. We got the 9 o'clock stretch coming up, and brr, better get an extra blanket out. You didn't hear? Yeah, we've got a cold front coming. Yeah, to Florida. You didn't hear? The daytime temperatures could drop by 3 or 4 degrees. I know, really, it's officially called, though, a cold front. But it will bring in some drier air. Oh, that good old dry heat. I guess it's better than wet heat. Yeah, I don't know. We'll take what we can get. If it's a little bit of a reprieve that we get for a couple days, we'll take it. But I don't know. It should be against the law, I say, to call it a cold front. That is not accurate. It was a cold front until it got close to the Georgia-Florida border, maybe. Then it dissipated very quickly as the radiating heat from Miami came our way. All right, hang in there. 9 o'clock stretch is next. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show on 97.3 The Sky.